Hey everybody, welcome. Welcome to week six of corporate partnerships and sponsorships for the new economy. I'm actually very excited about today's topic. Well, I'm excited about week six, just overall, as you can see, there's part one and there's also part two. So this is part one of week six. I've been actually looking forward to this because this is one of my favorite topics because this is where we talk about money, where we don't really talk about money, but where we negotiate the deal, where we put our plan in front of people, where we put our ideas in front of our potential partners. So I'm actually pretty chuffed about it, pretty excited about it, and I'm happy to that I'm actually finally sharing this part with you because this is the right time, of course, because we've been building up to this. So this is part one. And then you will also, after this, you'll get part two. So let's dig right in, right? So, we're not gonna jump from part one to part two. You're gonna complete part one and really understand it and we unpack it, and then you'll move on to part two. All right, so last week, I introduced you guys to this method. Coped method, the coped method, you can call it whatever you want, really, you can call it the coped method, depends, you know, it's up to you. I invented the name, so you could do whatever you want with it. I find myself sometimes changing between the coped method and the coped method. Anyway, so all it stands for really, as you know, it's context. What is the context? Why are we talking? What is the context of this meeting? Two, problem opportunity gap or problem opportunity link, which I spoke about last week. Number three, because it's four parts, just four parts, simple, right? Simple framework, just four parts. And then the third part is exploring options, co-creation, you know, you and them in a dance to find the best solution for them. And then the fourth part is the decision is actually the shortest part of the process. So today we are going to basically go through the meeting, go through the script. I've written some scripts for you guys. So I'm gonna take you through these steps because it's gonna help you. Once you master this, you'll know exactly where the meeting is, where you are, at what stage you are in the meeting. And I find that this is sometimes one of the reasons, meetings are some of the reasons why people lose deals because they lose their bearings. They never know where they are. They get thrown around by the corporate or by whoever they're meeting with, almost like a rag doll. They get just thrown around the room because there's no structure. Well, that's not gonna happen to you because you have a structure and you have a process. Let's dig in, guys. So context, as I've said, that's our first part of these four parts. So context really, I mean, you know what context is. So you get into this meeting, all the niceties of greetings and all that stuff, then you start. This is your meeting. You then start kind of at the beginning. You start by saying, well, guys, I decided to reach out to you because I saw, you know, and then you talk about the problem that you identified, the reason you decided to reach out to them. There's got to be a reason. For instance, I'll keep using my JSE example because you are familiar with that story. And I think it's a universal story that because you're in this program, everybody can follow and understand. And because everybody else in the group have their own, you know, story or situation. So let's stick to the one we all know. So for me here, it would be something like, you know, I decided to reach out to you because I saw a story in Finwick. Remember, this was partly in the email that you sent. So it's nothing new. So there's no reason to panic here. You're just telling them a story that they know. So I decided to reach out to you guys because I saw that story in Finwick where so-and-so said that the JSE had this challenge of wanting to promote Altex listed companies, but these, whatever, then I don't wanna go deep into that story because this is not about them, but all those issues that, you know, the Altex listed companies were we're facing such as, you know, high volatility, low liquidity, and the fact that institutional investors were not really putting a lot of money on small caps. It's not just a JSE thing, by the way, it's a global thing. Small caps because of the perceived risk and all of that, that kind of thing. So I basically outline the problem that I identified, which in some cases they would be familiar with it, which may be the reason why they called you here. But now what about if it's not their problem? Because there's also that aspect where you want them to partner with you so that jointly you and them can tackle something outside of the organization. Same story. You basically talk about that problem and then you want to then bring it to why you thought they would be a great partner to discuss it with. Remember here, you're not going into any details. You literally just it's just broad strokes, you know, just reminding them why we are here. You're not going into any details at this stage. You know, this process should take maybe 2 minutes. It's really just introducing the topic and giving it a bit of background. So it should be just quick and you know, brush, move forward. You also wanna, you know, if it's their problem, you could just wrap it up by mentioning that, you know, part of the reasons why you retired is because you really think that you may be able to assist, you know, you may in partnership with them. Even if it's not their problem, again, same thing, you think you might be able to assist in partnership with them. So they are kind of intrigued. Okay, so, you know, tell us more. So they now you've kind of framed the focus for the meeting that this is what we are going to talk about. So that's basically the beginning of your context, setting the context. And then from there, you then set the agenda for the meeting. And the way you set that agenda, you kind of give them a feel for the journey of this meeting, how this meeting is going to go. Remember, you're setting this up for yourself, especially because you don't want them to be interrupting you, you know, with questions or taking this meeting into all sorts of tangents. That's why you're giving it, you are kind of showing them where we are going. So how do you do that? You say something like this. I'd like us to invest our time today on things that may be most important and most beneficial to your organization. And I'd like to also establish how best my ideas can be beneficial to you. Do you mind? Get that? You're asking now. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions and take some notes? And then wait. They answer. They say, of course not. But we don't mind. I'll also give you a chance to ask me anything you like. Listen, okay, I'm going to come back and unpack this for you. And then you continue. Then we can both decide if this is a good fit for you or not. So let me unpack what we just did here. So let's start at the beginning. I'd like to invest our time today on things that may be most important and most beneficial to your organization, or to you. You could say to you or to your organization. And I'd like to also establish how best my ideas can be beneficial to you. Do you remember when a few weeks ago we spoke about coming with a giver's heart rather than a salesman's mindset? That's what you just did here. You're saying, hey, I'm here, guys, so that we can talk about you. What's important to you? What's beneficial to you? Even when you talk about yourself, you say, I'd like to also establish. You're not talking about yourself. You're saying, I'd like to establish how best my ideas can be beneficial to who? To you. So that whole thing is about what's in it for them, what's good for them, what's important to them, what's beneficial to them. So you started from there. Now there's no, whatever, even if there's not, now if there's any skeptic in the room, they're like, what, why is this, what, this sounds too good to be true. That's fine. You'd rather have that than somebody who's adversarial trying to, because you came as a salesman, now they're trying to kind of object to anything you say. Even skeptics, they actually want to listen because they're like, where's the catch, right? So, which means they'll be paying attention than somebody who doesn't even want to listen to you because they just want to say no to what you're bringing. They are not interested. So that's that. So you lay that foundation. That's what you want to focus on. What do you think they want to focus on? of course, they want to focus on what's good for them too. So we are all in agreement that we're going to focus on the same thing, what is good for them. Now, the next thing, as I said, is that you then, you ask for a permission to ask questions. Why is that important? Because now, when you ask questions, people will cooperate because they agree that, yeah, sure, you can ask us questions. So when you say, do you mind if I ask you a few questions and take some notes? But can you say that that's a continuation of what you just said above, that you want to focus on what's important to them, and you also want to establish, how do you establish anything? By probing, right? You want to establish how best your ideas can be beneficial to them. So how are you going to do that? By asking. So now you're respectfully asking for permission just to ask a few questions and take some notes. People will be like, sure. Because people generally, when you say somebody, can I ask you a question? What do people normally say? Do they say, no, I don't want to hear any questions? They say, sure, go ahead. Because now they're curious. They want to hear, what's this question you want to ask, right? So people here, they'll respond and say, of course, you can ask questions. And then, now, this is very powerful, by the way. Starting any meeting in this way gives you power, okay? So you say, I'll also give you a chance to ask me anything you like. Now, when they're not just gonna jump in and interrupt you and stop you and all, because you've already said you give them a chance. So people will actually wait. They may ask and interrupt for clarity in certain parts, but for the most part, they know that you are fair here. You ask for permission to ask them questions, but you also give them an opportunity to do the same, to ask you anything they like. Wow, you've just given them carte blanche. They can ask you anything. People like that when they know that they are not limited or restricted in terms of what they can ask. Of course, they'll ask within the context of what you are here to talk about, which you are an expert in anyway, because it's your idea. Then you move on to the last part where you say, then we can both, listen to this, then we can both decide if this is a good fit for you or not. What did you just do there? You didn't say, then you guys can tell me or can decide. No, we can both decide. So we're gonna discuss this together. We're gonna have this conversation. And then when we reach a certain point, we will both be clear if this is good for you guys or not, which means you are prepared to take it. No, remember what we said at the beginning of the program, we said, give them an opportunity to say no. So that's what you just did there in a meeting. It's happening now. This is where you use that stuff. Can you guys see that? So you say, if this is a good fit for you or not, meaning that a not is still a decision and an acceptable response from them. Now, everybody now is in agreement. What's happening now? They're waiting for you to want to ask questions, right? Because they just gave you permission to ask questions and you said after that, this is how the meeting is going to go. Now, the exact next step is you asking a question. And you basically, this question is a very important question. And you're asking it as if it's a by the way question. So it's important to smile, you know, just have a bit of a smile. Whatever your definition of a smile, I know people don't smile at all, but you know, whatever your equivalent of smiling is. So you smile slightly and say, firstly, I'm a little curious. Now people are like, okay, what are you curious about? Okay, they want to hear that. And then you go on and say, was there anything in particular in my email? Because you probably would have contacted them by email. That made you decide to invest your valuable time to have this discussion with me today? Was there anything in particular in my email that made you decide to invest your valuable time to have this discussion with me today? Whoa, why did you just do that? First of all, you just smiled as if it was just a thought that just crossed your mind. And then you said, firstly, I'm a little curious. Right? You know, before we move on, I'm just a little curious. You know, it literally comes across like the by the way. And then you hit them with this. was there anything in particular? What? So what you're asking here, what? Because you said a couple of things probably in your email, but you want to know specifically, you can't assume what it was that made them want to talk to you. It could be something it could be literally one sentence that you didn't even notice was the biggest thing in the email. So when you say, was there anything in particular in your email that made them decide to invest what? Their valuable time, because that's what they think. They think their time is valuable. So you might as well agree, right? That they're in, and they're not spending time. You know, that you guys decided to see me today. That's still okay. But when you say to somebody you invested their time, it means they're making an investment of something very precious, very, very valuable, very special. They're investing it in this meeting. So when you invest in something, you don't go there to play games. When you invest, you become invested. So you are basically reminding them that they are investing their time, which means they need to be invested in the outcomes and the goings on of this meeting. And they need to invest their focus because now they are here and their presence. So this is a very powerful way to kind of reposition your audience, the people who are listening to you in this meeting. And what is interesting is what will come from them, because now you just asked a question. Somebody, you know, if it's a group of people, or even if it's one person, somebody will respond to this. But they may say, well, nothing really, you know, but don't rush them. Wait. If they say, well, nothing in particular, maybe just pause for a minute. Because there is a reason. There is a reason. You know, just pause. Don't just jump in and say, oh, okay, let's continue. No, just pause a little bit and wait to hear what else they'll say. Of course, if you are very comfortable with them, you could say, come on, guys, really? You mean, you know, but you don't want to overdo this thing. So if you're not comfortable, just leave it here. Let them answer. Give them a pause if you feel that they are not coming forth. But of course, you've got to move forward. But what would typically happen, especially if it's a group, in fact, either way, especially if it's one person, let me start with that. When it's one person, they just want to have a chat, you know, they want to talk to you. If it's a group, there might be one person who is very comfortable in this meeting already. Will say, well, you know what I liked about your email? I'm very curious about what you said, or what you touched on is something that is very important to us because you said this, that. Remember, you would have done your research, right? So there might be something that resonated that led to them making the decision to invest this time to talk to you. So that's the question that you start with, because that question, why are you asking? You probably wonder why else, because this question will tell you what's important, what's the most important thing to them in this meeting, so that you can kind of mentally underline that. In fact, you said you were going to take notes, right? You could make a note of it. What was important to them? Because there's something there that you said in your email that kind of really resonated with them. They'll tell you what it is if they are being honest in answering your question. Why did you start by asking questions? Because I think it's important. For me, I'd rather you understand the reason behind what you do than to just memorize words. So why do we start with questions? Because we want to be in control. So you need to be in the frame of mind as you come to this meeting, that this is your meeting. Yes, they granted you your request, but you initiated this. So you called this meeting and you invited them and they accepted, if you think about it. So you're in control of this meeting. So keep that mental picture of you being in control of this meeting. Remember, these people have not given you anything yet. They can still say no. So what's the point of being subservient already? Not that you ever have to be subservient to anybody for that matter, but a lot of people, because they're dealing with corporates, they kind of bring this, oh, I'm just a small business, and they come with this cap in hand mentality, which is not gonna win them any friends anyway. So you might as well mentally have a posture of control, because it gives people also confidence that this person has something important to say. So that's one of the reasons why we ask questions, because the person who asks questions is usually the person who's leading the group. And remember, I've already taught you guys this, but you know, I just want to make sure this is the time where you cannot afford to be needy, because now they're looking at you. Everything you do, you know, all your senses are betraying you now. You know, how you sit, your posture, the tone of your voice, you know, how you lounge, you slouch forward, however you sit, just stay in control. Do not be needy. I assume this is a face-to-face meeting. Even via Zoom or any other platform that you're going to engage in, hold your posture. Personally, I like to have Zoom calls when I'm standing, especially if I'm on video. I prefer to be standing because I can, you know, you can't be slouching when you stand. You stand upright. Sometimes when you're sitting, the way you sit can betray you. So when I'm on video, I actually prefer to have my laptop on a stand-up desk. If you don't have a stand-up desk, obviously, you can elevate. You could put it anywhere in your house or in your office, put it on top of books, just to keep it at the right level with your face. And by the way, never have camera coming down from the top looking at you. You look really ridiculous, and people are looking on top of your head, which kind of, they look down on you. So in the literal sense. And when somebody looks down on you, you lose a couple of, you know, I don't know how you measure respect. I almost said a couple of inches of respect, but you get ounces of respect, whatever. I don't know. Nobody really can measure respect. But so always make sure, even if you're not tall, make sure that your camera doesn't come from the top. You know, you don't have to look down on the camera, but make it at least at the eye level, but never from coming down from the top. It's the worst position you can ever have on video. People make so many decisions about you just by how you appear on that video. So never be needy, and invite a no early, as we've already said. You know, so that's, I'm just explaining what we just did, by the way, by bringing these points up. So you've invited a no early, you are not needy, we already said be in control, so you're asking questions, meaning the person who asks questions is in charge, because they ask and everybody else has to follow up, they ask and everybody else has to follow with an answer. So think about it, when you go to your doctor, when you visit your doctor and you're not feeling well, who's asking questions? It's not you, it's the doctor. They first say, what's wrong? Where's the pain? What seems to be the issue? What else? They're probing. You are waiting for them to fire questions. So they're in control. There's no question about who's in control. Let's look at the opposite. You go to a meeting, you do what most people do with their PowerPoint presentations, and they present, they talk. They haven't even heard how other people, they haven't even heard the voices of the people in the room, because they haven't heard them speak. And then when they finish doing that presentation, they get peppered with questions. They are busy defending questions left, right, and center. Now, who's in control? And if there's someone who's aggressive in that meeting, who's interrupting and peppering with questions, that could get you to lose your posture. So by starting this way, you are really building up your own confidence, and you are allowing yourself space to lead and to breathe and to think properly, right? And to stay structured, most importantly. So I don't get thrown around the room, so you don't get thrown around the room in a, not in a literal sense, I was just looking for the word, in a figurative sense. So you're in charge, you're in control, you're asking questions, as I said. Think about your doctor now, you know. Of course, you're not going to say, what's wrong, guys? Where's the pain? Okay. Now, since we're talking about doctors, because you're here to prescribe a solution, remember this. It's called malpractice when a doctor prescribes before they diagnose, right? If you walk into a doctor's office and the first thing they say to you is, can I sign you a script of Panado? You'll be like, this doctor must have drunk something very strong this morning, right? It doesn't work like that. They ask, they diagnose, and then they prescribe. That's exactly what you're doing. So you are asking questions as part of your process of diagnosing what the nature of the problem that they may be having before you prescribe them your brilliant idea of partnering with you. Simple, nothing complicated. I hope you're following this. So she who asks questions is in control, or he who asks questions is in control. Simple. You think of all the scenarios where you were peppered with questions. Sometimes we get irritated even by our own kids sometimes. Of course, we love answering their questions, but there are times where they just pepper you and you feel like they've just put you in the corner. You are, nah, stop asking me questions. So the person who asks questions, because they ask a question and they look at you, those eyes are just looking at you, waiting for you to respond. So I'm not saying you should intimidate people with your eyes, by the way, but asking questions really is powerful, I'm telling you. So we've just done the context here, you know. So we've done the context and we've laid the foundation for the meeting. Now we're moving basically to the next step. Which is problem opportunity gap or problem opportunity link. What are we trying to do here? We're trying to establish basically the depth, the width, the nature of the problem, and we want to link it to this opportunity that you're bringing. It's really that simple. But we want to create that gap so that they can see that there's a gap in between the problem they have and what their lives could look like once they get the opportunity. It's really that simple, guys. So, remember this, the value of your idea, the idea that you're bringing here, its value in their eyes, the value of your idea is directly proportional to the pain your prospective partner is experiencing for not having your idea. Again, I'll use my example about when I approached the JSC those many years ago. We already know that they had a challenge, they had a problem. And the value of my idea was directly proportional to that pain that they were feeling because of the problem that they had, because they didn't have the solution I was bringing. Can you see that? So if the solution you're bringing, its true value is how big is it relative to the pain? So if they had to choose, just to be clear, between the pain that they are experiencing due to the problem they are having and having the opportunity that you bring or the idea that you bring, which one would they choose? You want the gap to be so big between the two that it becomes a no-brainer to say, we'd rather have that. Again, somebody may say, they are not the ones who are having a problem. Then it's about how big the opportunity is. You know? So if there's no gap between the if they don't have a pain of their own, how attractive is the opportunity? So now that they know about this opportunity, how painful would it be for them to know that they missed out? Think about it. Let's just say your favorite gadget, something that you said, I want to buy myself X, right? Or shoes or a guitar or phone or a watch or a car. And then, let's say you say, one day I want to buy myself that. But you know, you're not really looking for it right now because maybe you're still saving, maybe it's very expensive. And then you find out today that the price has dropped by 90%. That item is now selling for 10%. You didn't have a pain at the time for not having that problem. But now, your pain has just been induced by the fact that you can have it for 10% of what it costs. Let's say you go to the place where they sell this thing, and when you get there, it's finished, sold out. Oh, the anguish. Can you see the pain? Can you now see the pain of missing out on something you really, really wanted? When you woke up, it was not a pain because you were still okay with the fact that you'll buy it one day. But the moment you found out that you could have it, but then you miss out on that pain stays. So the pain doesn't always have to be the pain that has always existed. It could be the pain that comes in as a result of the possibility of missing out on what you're presenting to them. So just so I'm clear. Now, what you're trying to do at this stage, as I've said, you know, the value of your idea is directly proportional to the pain they would feel for not having this, or the pain they are feeling for not having it. So now what you're really trying to establish here is the real cost of the present moment, particularly if the present moment continues. If they already have a problem, what is the cost right now, but what will the cost be in the future if they continue to stay with the problem? Or if they did not have a problem before you came with your idea, now, if they really want, and your idea is really good and they really want it and they miss out on it, the pain, the cost of having missed out on it will linger long after you've left, so to speak. So let's assume that they have a problem. I'll stick with the example that I've been using about myself and the JSU. So what do you think is your biggest challenge in the area of X? Remember, we already know what the problem is here. So now we're just drilling a little bit deeper to find out, you know, without making assumptions. I know I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I listen to something and because my mind tends to speed at like 100 million miles an hour, I quickly make calculations in my head and make up my own mind about where the problems are. But sometimes you just have to slow down and ask. So now you don't want to assume that you understand the biggest pain or the biggest issue or the biggest challenge about their problem. You want them to tell you. Remember, they gave you permission to ask them questions. So you ask, so what do you think is your biggest challenge in the area of X? The area of X is the area where the problem that you introduced during the context is, right? And then a conversation happens, and then you can ask follow-up questions. Remember, what you're trying to establish here is really the magnitude of their frustration around this. So don't rush, let them talk. And if you need clarity, just ask them to elaborate on those things. Don't be so scripted that you are rigid and stiff during the meeting. Relax, just have a conversation with them. Remember here, we're just wanting to know how big is their problem. So relax, be comfortable there, you know. That's your home. That's where your money is. So so stay there deeper. And then what you want to establish is really in their own eyes, from their own point of view, what is this situation really costing them? Sometimes they haven't really calculated what the cost is. But now that you ask, you are making them really think, oh my goodness, geez, you know, we could be achieving a lot of things in this area, but you know, this problem has been with us for 5 years. Wow, imagine if we had solved it 5 years ago, we would have saved millions, or we would have made X amount of money, blah, blah, blah. So now you're really getting them to kind of think of this problem from a cost point of view, because there's a cost for everything, all right? There's a cost for everything. Remember, guys, let me say this. This is a good time for me to say this. I'm not going to leave you alone, basically, after I teach you this and you have to figure it out on your own. We're going to do role plays. All of us are going to find ways to role play this with me and as a group, you know, among yourselves sometimes, so that it becomes fluid to talk like this. So you're not going to practice this just in front of the mirror. Yes, you will practice in front of the mirror, but you will have sufficient time to role play and practice this and actually have recordings and listen to yourself, that kind of thing. So don't panic as yet if this sounds like foreign to you. I'm just giving you structure here and giving you posture and guideline. So you want to focus on the pain, as I've said, and the real cost of the current situation. You want them to come to see the problem or the opportunity you're bringing from a cost and a value point of view, okay? So there's no need to create like false sense of pain, things that don't exist to make things up. Stick with reality, because any pain that is manufactured is never real, okay? Wow, that sounds like a philosophical line. Any pain that is manufactured is never real. But if it's their pain, it's real for them, okay? So let them feel their pain. Let them and reveal what they think the cost of that thing is. Because you also don't want to go under assumption that what you're bringing is so earth-shaking, only to find that they think, what a waste of our time, right? So they're guiding you here. They're just guiding you. It's a conversation, right? There's a story I like to tell of a farmer and a magician. So some in a long, long time ago, in some faraway land, there was a farmer. Unfortunately, it was back in the day before, you know, this was a crop farmer, by the way. And there were no tractors, there were no like modern machinery for farming. So they relied on mules to actually plow their fields. But now the mules, unfortunately, in that part of the world at that time, they were attacked by something similar to mad cow disease. So we could call it a mad mule disease. And they were just so sick, they couldn't work. But and now it was the season for the farmer to start plowing the fields. You know, as you can imagine, if you lose that opportunity, you can't catch up. At least I assume, I've never been a farmer, but I'm guessing, because these guys, they work with seasons, right? So seasons are so important. So the mules were sick, you know, and he was running out of time. So a friend of his said, you know, why don't you, there's a magician on the other side of the river who's been known to create magic and make things happen. Maybe as a last resort, why not call him? Maybe he could work his magic and get the mules up and running so that at least you don't lose out this season of plowing, right? Long story short, the farmer called the magician. Magician came, and the farmer laid out the problem to the magician. Magician said, oh, no problem. What do you need? What would you like me to do? What do you want to achieve ultimately? The farmer said, well, I want my fields plowed ultimately, because once the mules are alive and not sick and well, then I can get them to plow. The magician said, well, why don't I just plow your fields quickly for you? You know, because mules are still going to take their time anyway to plow your fields. Why don't I just do it right now? The farmer was like, really, could you do that? I said, sure. Took out his magic wand and he just waved the wand and the fields were plowed. He just waved it once and fields were plowed. It was just a ball of dust, literally. And the farmer was like, oh my goodness, whoa, the fields are plowed, wow. And then the farmer was like, oh, thank you so much. He hugged the magician. He was in tears. He was so happy. And then he said, how much do I owe you for this? The magician said, how much does it cost you per year? If you look at all the costs that are related to your mules, the feeding, the medication, keeping them alive so that they can do this cutie for you. The farmer did some calculations, came up to a number. It's like, well, I think it's about 80,000 rand. And then the magician said, well, that's what I would charge you then for what I've done, because I basically did the exact service that the mules would have done for you. Ah, the farmer was up in arms. No way, you can't charge me 84. That was a split second. You didn't even work. How could you charge me so much money? Long story short, the farmer was refused to pay. The magician was like, okay, I can't force you to pay. I gotta go. And he pulled out his magic stick again. He just waved it once and the fields were unplowed this time. All of what he did was gone with just a wave, one wave. Now the farmer's begging him and crying, says, okay, I'll pay you 80,000, right? Please, just please, don't leave me like this. Just plow these for me one more time. The magician said, well, I think you're mistaken, farmer. You probably never did mathematics at school, because I waved my wand, that was 80K. I waved it again, that was another 80K. If I waved it the third time, that's gonna be another 80K. That is gonna cost you three times. Anyway, moral of the story is, the farmer would have been better off to just pay, because the outcome, what he wants is worth more than the 80K. I think that's what's important. He wants his crops, his whole business was basically hinging on that. That's a whole year of production that he was gonna lose if he didn't have those fields plowed. But this thing of haggling, why am I bringing this up? Because what I'm trying to highlight with the story, of course I would have loved to tell the story, you know, in a long way, but you don't have time to listen to a long story, right? You just want to get moving. So even with these companies, you know, once the value is clear, people want what they want, okay? So I want you to also understand that the value of what you bring has to be bigger than what they currently have. And I don't mean to intimidate you. At this stage of the program, you kind of already know what you've got. So how do we, you know, enhance what you have by telling its story in a way that compels people to actually see that it only makes sense to partner? All right. So you want to build up that desire. Here, you know, by having this contrast of the current pain and the possible future of what things could look like for them. Remember, right now, we're still not really talking about your problem. We're just trying to imagine what the world would be like without these problems. That's really all we are doing here. We're just trying to say, this is the world as it is now. What would it look like if these problems didn't exist? Essentially, in case you're getting lost here, that's what we're trying to do at this stage of problem opportunity gap. We're just trying to say, this is the problem. This is what the world looks like now. We wonder what it would look like. Wow, the promised land, the future. What would that look like without this problem? Simple. That's what we're trying to establish here. So we want them to start to see the alternative life without the problem. So one of the ways to unpack this in the meeting is to remember what I call, and I made this up myself because I guess I've got 15 years experience of doing this stuff. So I kind of know what's important, right? So for now, take my word for it. And I know you've been in business probably for 20 years or longer yourself. You may disagree. You can add your own. You can feel free to add your own things. But these are some of the things that I've seen in my own lifetime to be important. People are interested, companies are interested in financial results, financial impact. So some of the things you would want to look at in this dance of the current situation and what things could look like is, you know, what are the financial implications of the current situations? What would they be without it? Socially, you know, in terms of socially, we could even talk about things like CSI. What are some of the things that they care deeply about, and how can these things be enhanced by leveraging the opportunity that you bring, or by removing the obstacle that they currently have, that kind of thing. And then local, global, and influential leverage. Every business wants to be influential, especially as compared to their competitors. What could give them that leverage, that of influence? Is there a way in what you're doing where they could, for instance, get some kind of recognition as a company in some way? Or where they can get a leverage if it's, let's say it's a multinational deal. Let's say you're working with people across borders or across the oceans, that kind of thing, where by partnering with you, it kind of gives them a leverage where it gives them access to new markets, I'm just saying. You know, so think about local and global leverage, that what you bring. You need to unpack your solution and really see all the value that is packed in what you've got. Don't be so narrowly focused on what you're going to get and forget to really, really enrich what you have with a ton of value that people can actually see, that they can feel it's tangible, okay? And then another thing that corporates care about is corporate citizenship, you know, how their brand is perceived, you know, not just from a marketing and commercial sense, but also from a societal sense and environmental sense, and all just the issues that are affecting, you know, human beings and life on the planet. So look broader to see how you being their partner could enhance those areas and where currently they would like to see improvements in those areas. And then the other thing is customer goodwill. You know, if what you're gonna do will make their customers smile. I mean, that's big, that's huge in their eyes, you know, so customer goodwill, you know. So there's that. I mean, let's just look at this from my example. And then of course, the last one is media. Can they get media exposure for this? Can they issue press releases about what they're doing, and it becomes a big hoo-ha in the media, even if it's just for one day? Can it be something that gets them recognized? You know, so think deeply about what you have, because there's so much value in it that you probably are not unpacking enough right now. So let's come back to our example of my partnership that I did with the other organization. Financially, I mean, it would have been, partnering with me it made sense financially for the JSE, because if they could increase the volume of trades in those types of stocks, if they could attract more of those types of companies to list, the value is untold. It's humongous, huge, the financial value. Socially, because we're doing a book and the book was about entrepreneurship and these were CEOs who were telling their story, that book would be, from a social point of view, if entrepreneurs, small businesses across South Africa could read that book and benefit from the lessons that are shared by the CEOs, that's huge impact to society, because it helps a lot of small business entrepreneurship in South Africa basically to be developed. So there's that societal aspect, local and global influence. Now, for instance, some of my books were bought by investment advisors who were on road shows overseas promoting South African companies. Can you see the global influence and leverage just from that one book? I mean, there could be more. I'm just pacing through it. There could be a lot more. Corporate citizenship. I mean, even there, where's the corporate citizenship? When the JSE tells its story to people who didn't understand how the JSE works and as a vehicle to create wealth, not only that, but as a, not only to create wealth for investors, but to create wealth for business owners, that they could listen to the JSE so that they would enhance their profiles and be able to raise the much needed capital by being a public company. So that would have, you know, that has, you know, big corporate citizenship impact aspects as well. And also the fact that we could donate these books. That's another thing. Books could be donated to schools, you know. So there's huge social aspects as well as corporate citizenship aspects in this. And then the other part is customer goodwill. You know, who's the customer in this case? It's the investor, it's the CEOs of listed companies. The CEOs are happy because their companies are getting all this exposure. So the customer, if we take the CEOs as customers, they're happy in this respect. Media, I mean, the book got so much media. It got so much media. So it was ticking all these boxes that I'm talking about here. So can be your projects if you really take the time to really unpack the value that you've got, which I'm hoping we're going to be able to do with you if you let us over the next 7 weeks, the remaining time of our program. So you never want to leave the discussion of value at the level of money. A lot of times people tend to just, as soon as money is mentioned, they tend to say, oh, okay, the deal is done. No, you want people to, the money part, if they will pay you money or if there's any money that's going to flow your direction, you want them to be such a by-the-way step in the whole thing. You want them to be so attached to results and the benefits that they will get, to outcomes that they will get, way beyond what it's going to cost them to get those outcomes. So you don't want to just leave it at money. This is what the deal will be, da-da-da-da-da. No, you want them to focus on what they're getting so that the money pales into insignificance compared to that. Okay, so you want them to tell you what matters. And I think this is kind of a theme here. You know, in all of these steps, you want to understand what's the most important thing to them. Like those six things that I showed you now, which of those are the real triggers? By the way, in a meeting, you don't really have to go through all six. You can if you want to be thorough and if your project can tick all of those. Even if it just ticks three of those boxes, perfect, it's good. Okay, so don't panic thinking, oh, but see, there's six things. Where am I going to get all of that? I mean, you can, but you don't have to, okay? So that's the second part. Now, the third part, remember now, what we're trying to do here was to establish what the world could look like without these issues. We've established what's important to them. We've established what it would mean to them if they can have that media exposure, that social impact, that those financial rewards, all these things, we've now established that. Now the question is, how then do we move forward? So that's what we're doing now. We're exploring options of how to package things. I hope this helps you guys. So you wanna take them to the alternative future, which we've just done now. So you could say something like, again, it's kind of belaboring the point because you've already really went deep into those areas, but now this is you just probing, because sometimes you have to ask direct questions because no assumptions, remember. What would it mean to you, to your organization, if you could get more of, you know, whatever of those six things that we mentioned, or whatever was the main theme? What would it mean to you guys if you could actually sort out this problem that we discussed once and for all? Because now what that does, it allows other people in the room to really share their own views, their own perspectives of what it would mean to them for that to be sorted out. So you want to ask more questions and get them to engage more, you know. And in any meeting, sometimes there are those people who are talking a lot. Maybe one could say talkative or more engaging. You want to pay special attention to those people because they can help you even after the meeting. You know, they could be the ones that are, you know, repeating your words to their colleagues, that are speaking on your behalf. So you want to always check with them. As you talk, you want to, you know, obviously you don't want to just talk to them as if nobody else is in the room, but whenever you want to prompt, you kind of prompt people for responses. As you look around people, you could kind of stare a few, 1 second longer in that direction, they'll feel compelled to speak. So in this really, in this whole conversation, you're a teacher in the sense that you are talking and sharing, but at the same time you're a journalist because you're asking questions. You're drawing them in to talk. You're asking them questions that need answers. Okay, so you're doing this dance of being a teacher and a journalist at the same time, right? So you want to share the outcomes, the aspects of the outcomes that you deliver, and then you want them to kind of interpret those, you know, and actually let you know how each of those things. So you would say something like, so if we did this for you guys, what would that do for you? You know, let's say, let's use my example. So if I could write this book where I feature the CEOs and they tell their story, you're kind of giving them the answer, right? And they tell their stories and, you know, and we get the book out aggressively via media publicity. It's in bookstores, media's talking about it. What would that do for you? Whoa, you know? Now they're starting to dream. Oh my God, this is what this could do for us. So you want to let them sell the value of what you have back to you. You know, so you want them to fully grasp the pain and the gap between the cost of the present and the possibility and hope of the future alternative. Now we're really moving towards agreeing on how to package this thing, you know. So you want to empower them to sell you, basically to sell themselves to you and convince you on the decision that you have led them to, you know, why they have to have this thing. You want that to be there. You want them to get to that decision without you driving them. You're already driving them through your questions, you know, you're kind of guiding them. Now, by the time they get there, the gate of the decision, it's like, whoa, look how far we've come. Look, we're at the gate of our own decision. We are making a decision, even though you were guiding them. So you want that to create that feeling. Which leads us to the last part of this. These last two parts are very short. In fact, the first part, the third part and the fourth part are actually quite short. Where you want to spend time, as I said, is in the gap. It's in the gap of the problem and the opportunity. You want to stay there, relax, don't rush. I would say about probably 70-80% of your meeting should be there. Because these last parts are easy. It's just packaging the deal and then deciding on how to move forward. That's it. So now that we agree that, you know, we want to do this project and all of that stuff, you basically want to invite them now to officially participate in the opportunity, right? So you basically, it seems that, so what would you guys like to do? You know, you ask them, what would you guys like to do from here? Are you interested in getting involved in this partnership? So you just want them to confirm and agree that they are, or if they're not, they say, sorry, we're not, right? So you then sum up what you guys discussed about the opportunity and, you know, and focus on the fact that this opportunity is irresistible. You don't focus on it by saying, oh, this opportunity is irresistible. No, you focus on the aspects of it that make it irresistible. And of course, if there's money involved where they have to commit something, you just, you know, it's just admin, right? You guys will commit this, we'll do this on our side, blah, 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 blah. You don't stutter when you talk about money. Sometimes I had to say that, like, stutter, right? Because people tend to stutter when they would talk okay the whole time. Remember, they have to say 100,000. No, just relax. Just talk about it like it's a matter of fact, you know, because it's really whatever they'll give you is nothing compared to the value they're going to get from partnering with you. So just chill and just name, let the money roll off your tongue and move forward. Because it's just admin at this stage, okay? Now, you want to propose. Don't leave this meeting without clear steps. So you want to propose clear and specific next steps and then check with them. Are you guys okay? So what I want to propose as our next step from here is that this is what's going to happen. You lay down the things you want, the way you want things to happen. Who's going to do what? I'll do this from my side. You guys will do this by this time. is it okay if we do this by next Friday, if you guys can send this to me by next Wednesday, agree on specific next steps. And then you just check with them if they agree, and if they wish to add, is there anything you guys want to add, or would you rather suggest different set of steps? So then it becomes a negotiated thing, and then it's agreed on, boom, shake hands, meeting is done. Okay, that's it, guys. For today, you've got the structure of your meeting now. We're going to role play this so that it becomes second nature, so that you could do this with your eyes closed and go get those deals, go get those partnerships. Anyway, guys, that's it for today. I'm going to leave it here without dragging this lesson to be longer than it actually needs to be. So for that, from there, I will say thank you, and we are done.